Hello and welcome to Humans of Agape. We are Agape Europe, a community of people who make Jesus known so lives are changed and Europe is transformed. We want to bring spiritual hope and help to people from all walks of life. I am your host, my name is Jochen Geck. I work in the Berlin City Hub in Germany, and I'm curious to hear about what God is doing across Europe. So this is what this podcast is about. I interview people who are on staff with Agape and ask them about what God is doing in their lives and ministries. In today's episode, we're traveling to the Netherlands, to Rotterdam, to speak with Miranda Gast. She shares with us about being a mom on staff, working with students, and finding rest. Here she is. Hello, Miranda.
Hi, Jochen.
How are you?
I'm doing well, yeah.
How's the Dutch November weather treating you?
Yes, as usual, pretty grim and cold and wet and dark. So the mood is getting a little low, but yes.
But I hear coffee helps with that.
Yes, although I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm more tea that helps and hot chocolate.
Okay, that also sounds good.
Yes.
Miranda, where are you based?
I live in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and I work in different cities in the Netherlands, and I'm part of the Western Europe team, so a little.
So quite varied.
Yes.
And does that mean you travel a lot?
Mostly in the Netherlands and then a little bit outside, but not a lot.
Okay. And tell me, what is it you do in those cities in Western Europe?
That's a good question. That's what I wonder every week as well. But I help thinking about how to help students reach their universities. So how they can share their faith in Jesus with others and help them get involved and share their faith too. And then thinking about practicalities, how we can support that and develop that as an organization. And also inspire each other by sharing stories.
And does that mean your style of work is mostly in meetings or in direct coaching with individual students? What does it look like?
Both. Yes, both. And working on a computer, on documents and stuff. But yeah, those three things mainly.
It's a digital world now.
Yes. Well, it does make it easier sometimes.
It does. Especially like, yeah. I mean, the Netherlands aren't a small country, and to be able to connect with people on the other end of the Netherlands and then in all of Western Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very helpful. Although, yeah, by train, the Netherlands is still quite reachable. So that's
that's true.
Good.
Tell me a little bit about your story, Miranda. How did you join staff?
Well, when I was asked to join staff, I was a Christian 3 years. So I became a Christian at university. And Martin was part of basically the startup of student life in the Netherlands.
And Martin is your husband?
Martin is my husband, yes. And then the question came and my first response was like, no, I don't want to talk with students about Jesus. I'm just done being a student. And we were actually thinking about moving to China.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and we got challenged for joining staff, but then basically meaning like living a year in the UK and then coming back to help start up the student ministry in the Netherlands. So, yeah, so the first response was no, but then God had some, he made it very clear that he asked this of us in this time. So then we said yes.
How did he make it so clear?
I think we were very, like the mission really spoke to our hearts to invest in or to share the gospel by investing in a few and really walking life with them. And me becoming a Christian just recently, I just knew that that was very important. So yeah, that was like what we would love to do and also learn how to do better. And then there were also some practical things that were impossible that we could arrange by ourselves, but then just happened. And we felt that that was God saying, this is the time, this is what you should do.
Okay. And if I may ask, when was that?
That was 2007.
Okay. So 12 years ago.
Yes. Yes. It's been a few years.
And you already mentioned your husband, Martin.
Yeah.
So the two of you are on staff together. Yes. What's it like to be a staff couple and a staff family even?
It is, I think, mostly fun and, yeah, cool to be on an adventure together. It's also challenging at times because of then similar travels. But it's, I think it's mostly fun and an adventure to do this together.
So you both are in student ministry and both in Western European responsibilities?
Yes.
How does it work to share those responsibilities and also like family responsibilities?
I think what really helps is that we have friends and family that help out. And that's what I think love seeing happen, that you can be an extended family. Just have people that become part of like your family. And that the kids love as much as you or in a different way as you, and that they can teach the kids things that maybe I couldn't teach. So I think that's definitely been our greatest help.
Yeah, and even considering the importance of the nuclear family, isn't that also the body of Christ coming together?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's also something that is quite novel, I guess, in this bit more individualized society. I see so much stress on, like, when you keep the family so small, then you have to do it all together, like, with just the couple and the kids. And it's nice to share responsibility. Yeah.
Now, I imagine you are also in touch with other families, other moms. Does your model of living, of merging family and ministry, does it ever raise any questions?
Maybe some feedback I get is like, oh, you're really easy with your kids. You give them a lot of freedom, and for them to sort of wander, but also for us to step in. So students or others, that they can be part of their lives. Maybe that. And then maybe the travels, that we take them on different travels. So we went to Russia this summer as a family on a summer project. So with students from the Netherlands, we visited Russia. And that also did raise some questions, like, oh, wow, that's an interesting country to visit with a family. But yeah, it's also really fun.
So tell me about Russia. What's it like to go on a mission trip, I guess, with students as a family? And what happened in Russia?
Well, we went there to connect with Russian students who basically are involved in the same thing that we do in the Netherlands. So help students, help to share your faith, and help other students to get involved in sharing their faith. So we had a lot of contact with Russian students and shared lives and stories. And we were there as a family, and that was fun because the kids are not as much impacted by language difficulties. They just smile, wave, and make jokes. So that helped us to be like, oh yeah, we can use our hands and feet and Google Translate to connect. And I think they like being in another place and trying new foods and being like, oh, what is this? Yeah.
Yeah, and I bet they're also excited about being a part of their parents' job.
Yeah, they always call it holiday when we do things with our job. So actually, one of our colleagues, she tried that summer to ask our oldest, he's 6, so what do you think your mom and dad's job is? At that moment, Aileen was doing other things, so there was not a real story coming out. I think she just said, I don't know. But when she would be in the right position, she would probably say something. They would go on holiday all the time and talk to people. And maybe eat food as well.
That sounds like a perfect job.
Yes. At those moments, it definitely is.
And are there many of those moments?
I think it's not the majority of how my job looked like, but I think in general, the basic would be, or at least what I think, what I find important is that you connect with people on a heart level. And food is very important in that. I think when I look at the Bible, you see Jesus eating with a lot of people and then just stuff happens. Yeah, you connect life on life and things. Yeah, you get beautiful stories out of that. Yeah, so yeah. And I think that's the moments where which I enjoy the most, either in a large group setting or small group setting.
Because of the food or because of the connecting on the heart level?
Both.
Both. They're kind of inseparable, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
What are moments that you enjoy less?
What I find very difficult is to see when we hurt each other. And then maybe especially seeing us do that as Christians. Since we, well, that's what my head said, we might know better, but then we're also just like trapped in our own things as well. But I think we do have more of a solution at hand. And I try to remind myself of that when being in conflict with someone, just thinking about how God would view the situation and Jesus would treat that person. But I think, yeah, I think that's what I find difficult. I think it's inevitable working together where you have conflict, but I find it hard to see when, when there's a lot of hurt and there's no, I see people disconnect or, yeah, that doesn't get solved, and a lot of burnout as well. I think we have such a big vision and big goal and are so passionate that we can run and run. But yeah, if we don't help each other to say like, stop, it's enough, then you get hurt in that way too. So that's something that I find hard.
And how do you deal with those situations? Do you maybe have an example?
Sometimes I just cry. That helps to feel what I feel and to be aware of that. I pray, because I think my natural tendency would be that I would be the fixer if I see things happen, be like, oh, how can I fix this? And that's a valid question, because I can be responsible too, but I also pray and ask God to help others, but also to help me to see what is my responsibility in this and where it stops. Because I can also be acting over responsibility and over responsible, and that has a negative effect then as well. But yeah, I think those. And sometimes I just get mad. Maybe that's on the same level of crying, getting mad, or frustrated. And yeah.
Okay, and that probably causes even more hurt.
Well, at least it's a signal for me that things are happening and that I maybe have to give some time to think about this, and maybe and also think maybe about like, are there practical steps that I can take, or practical steps or practical things that I can pray for.
So in a way, frustration is a good thing.
Yeah, it is a sort of red flag for me, be like, okay, I have to now stop and think about what's happening and think about what can I do.
I find that interesting that you would say that, because I feel like as Christians, we often think we have to always be calm and collected and nice, and that frustration shouldn't be a part of our life.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that is something that I would think as well, and I'm also a bit careful of how I go about my frustration. Yeah, I think maybe that's something I've learned over the last year, to be more like, oh, what I feel, instead of only feeling it, can it lead to some like a practical next step.
But talking about learning, if that's something that you've learned in the past year, what's something you're learning at the moment?
One of the things, maybe also thinking about sort of next year, is the aspect of rest. Still, maybe also last year, but even this year, how important it is to sort of take rest, to make space for rest. Yeah, so that's something I think I learned to do, because I tend to be busy and sort of feel, have a lot of satisfaction in, out of the things that you do or accomplish or tick another box. But yeah, I try to learn to stop and to put in some pauses in my agenda, daily schedule, in my head sometimes as well, to just rest and know that I need that to, in order to function well, to hear Jesus better, and yeah, just to be better off. But that's something I, yeah, I'm learning.
Well, it's good. And I mean, I get to talk to many people on staff through this podcast or other, and I feel like rest comes up often as something that people want to learn or need to work on, or that just doesn't come natural to people. I imagine it's because we're all driven by a great vision, and there's such a big intrinsic motivation probably to work, to see results, to see change and to see transformation. So from what you've learned, do you have maybe one or two practical steps that people listening could apply right away?
I think what I do is try to incorporate it in my schedule. So when I put in something I do to which counts for me as rest, then it's easier not to plan anything else on those times. So I have some taking my daughter to school and do like a round of walk before I come here and start work. So that's like a 20 minutes place of rest, and then I have my prayer round, things like that. And then a couple of days a year that I block for reflection and doing something by myself with Jesus. I found out I like walks, so taking a bit longer walks or like city walks, I like to do that. And also sometimes like in the busy times, I also have sort of a kind of an exercise that I like to do, is to just sit down and think about, okay, can I imagine Jesus now just coming up to me? What would he sort of look like? What would he say to me? And just have this sit down and have a conversation with Jesus, or not talking, but just enjoying each other's company. And that really helps me to maybe stop thinking for a little bit or step out of what I normally do, and just enjoy the person who made me and who makes me come alive, and also shows me what rest looks like and why I need it. And then, yeah.
That's really good. And interesting that rest for you has a, well, I think you could call it an active part. And activity can be part of rest if it's restful activity, like walking or running, or like exercise, I guess, but also a passive side and allowing yourself to just sit down and be there and be in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And maybe sleep. I can add sleep as well. I love to sleep and take time for that.
Well, it's a biblical thing to do. It's what Jesus did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amidst the storm. But I guess that sleep like that can be harder to come by with the kids.
Yes. It's a bit, maybe that's why I value it more. Yeah. And I'm not so good. I'm more of a evening person. So I've also heard the phrase, if you can't beat them, join them. So I should probably be in bed earlier. And that helps. But that's a challenge.
Well, if it helps you, it might be a good thing.
Yeah.
I would like to get practical and hear one story from the last weeks of where you've seen God at work in your ministry or in your personal life.
I do personal life because I can't think of any story that I like for someone.
Sure.
But we are in the process of moving house. And so we will move out of this house in a month, and then move to another city just below Rotterdam. And this week we went to visit new schools for my daughter. And after that, and seeing the house for the first time. So we did that, then came back and talked a little bit about that. And then she ended up in bed crying that she didn't want to move house and leave school and leave her friends. And yeah, those are moments where you're like, oh, you want to sort of protect your child for all those things that hurt her. But those are moments where I'm like, okay, Jesus, what would you do? Being a parent, I know that you not instantly know all the answers to things, but you know someone who does. So that's where I'm like, help, what can I do? And then we just, I just was thinking, it is okay to feel that it is, things are hard and you don't want to, and that's okay. Like, and I just shared that I don't necessarily want to move house as well. There's also things that I feel that are hard and that are challenging. So I think, and then, yeah, it didn't solve the problem. She will still cry. but she was rested enough to go to sleep, or yeah, she calmed down enough to go to sleep. And then the next day we talked about it more, and she could also, she also was happy about the move. So I think in those small things, so it's not a maybe a big thing, but it's yeah, I think maybe that's also what I enjoy the most, where Jesus so practically helps you at the time you need it. Also, when I think about my work and thinking about what I'm most excited about, is that in all we do, all the meetings, all the planning, that students will walk with Jesus every day of their lives, and we can encourage that. So when they are facing like hard times or challenging times, or just also today, I just don't know what to do, that they are encouraged to just instantly ask Jesus, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Can you help me and help me walk through this situation? And those are like the small miracles, but also the big miracles where Jesus made that happen. That before we couldn't have contact with God. And yes, you can come to God with your big questions and the big things and the big miracles, but also those small interactions are some things that really, I think, yeah, that just makes you walk with Jesus every day. And yeah, I like that he does that with me, but also helps me to do that with my kids. Mm-hmm. So in like this example, that shows me also that God cares for me, but also helps me share him with my kids.
That's beautiful. And I mean, that's what being in a relationship with Jesus is too. Sure. Also inviting him in the small moments and not only the glorious moments.
Yeah.
Miranda, you're the first Dutch person on this podcast.
Woohoo!
So you're representative of all Dutch staff now?
Oh, maybe.
And I would like to know, I really think that we can see a glimpse of God's character in all different cultures and in a very different way.
Hmm.
So tell us a little bit about Dutch culture, and where do you see God's fingerprints in it?
Wow, that's a deep question. And the pressure of answering for a whole nation. Yeah, what I think is, yeah, maybe something I appreciate is that it's, yeah, I think we tend to think outside of the box or solve problems, see opportunities. So, yeah, the way we've done it before was good and we can value this, but we can also think about the next step. How can we make it better? What are other ways to do this? Does it work? If it doesn't work, then I think we are less afraid to put it aside and try new ways of doing things. Yeah, so a bit of a, yeah, maybe pioneering or trying to do things. And also maybe our consensus way in getting everyone in to share their opinion. That's a high value in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. which also can come across as being very blunt, direct. But it is a way of like, I sort of saying I find this important and I want to contribute. And when you know that that's what they're actually saying, it's quite nice because you get everyone's thought on the table quite easily, and together you will find a solution. And that's maybe something that God put in our nation, that we, in making decisions or going forward, that we look to each other, and that the voice of, like, the flatness of our hierarchical, like, organization, that the voice of the leader counts as much as, like, the intern, because they're all ideas that we can work with, and it's sort of, we move forward instead of, like, I move forward, so.
Well, it does sound like a kingdom value, and not only for the kingdom of the Netherlands, but also for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Miranda, for the last question at the end of this podcast episode, I would like to give the stage to you. You can share anything you want, something that our listeners should be thinking about that'll make them laugh, something to check out, a resource, a quote, anything you'd like.
Well, maybe when I think, I'm talking from the point of rest and meeting Jesus, maybe this is a time to connect with him. You could do the exercise that I just shared, where you sit down and close your eyes and just think about how he meets you where you're at, and listen to what he shares and share what's in your heart. So this can be a moment where you are just enjoying that relationship with Jesus, and maybe it will give you an insight to a problem or a challenge that you're facing, and yeah, will give you sort of strength to take the next step.
I like that, and I will definitely try that exercise too.
Cool.
Thank you for sharing it with us. And Miranda, thank you for taking the time and for everything you've shared. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for this initiative. It's fun to hear everyone's stories.
You're welcome. Goodbye, Miranda.
Goodbye.
That was Miranda Gast. She lives in Rotterdam and works in the student ministry in the Netherlands and in Western Europe. If you have ideas for the perfect next guest or questions for this podcast, you can reach me at agape@agapeeurope.org. Other than that, you can also find Agape Europe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or check out our website, agapeeurope.org. I'm Jochen Geck, and this is Humans of Agape. See you next time.